Bruchim Abayim to the first in the new series, which will consist of Shiurim lectures on the Yud Gimel Midas Shatira Nidreshes Bahem, which I suppose we could interpret or translate as the 13 hermeneutical principles of the exegesis, the rabbinical exegesis of Scripture. What we're going to do is we're going to focus on the Yud Gimel Midas as they appear in a very famous Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael, which appears at the very beginning of just of every edition of the Tanaic of the Midrashic Halacha on Leviticus of Vayikra, which is called Teras Kahanim. And I think it's pretty clear too from the text, which we'll give it to Shem, go further, that this is not just a publisher's coincidence, but actually the Teras Kahanim, which is actually the probably that Midrashic Halacha which makes use of what you would call exegesis, traditionally began, as was put together by Rav, with the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael Braisa is actually part and parcel of the Teras Kahanim, the Sifra, the Ve'Rav, which is the Tanaic commentary on Sefer Vayikra. Now, there's a question that we have to actually raise is, in fact, why learn the Yud Gimel Midas? What is the purpose of learning the Yud Gimel Midas? I mean, who cares about how Chazal dash in the Psukim? I mean, no one uses the Brais, the Sifroar, as a source of the Halacha. And in fact, most of the Droshes that appear in Teras Kahanim, or Droshes of Halachas, which appear in Teras Kahanim, actually reappear in the Shas, in the Gemara. A person learns Sivachim, Menachos, Chrisis, Temura, Archim, then what does a person have to go to Teras Kahanim? Sometimes you can compare it to what purpose is there to learning Teras Kahanim. So, prima facie, b'mat rishon, I would say there's really no purpose. Why learn it? But the fact is that we see that the Rishonim, quite a number of Rishonim, devoted considerable energies to the Peirush of Teras Kahanim. And for example, if we think about how many Rishonim actually wrote Peirushim of Teras Kahanim, so actually if I take the Teras Kahanim, which is published by the Machon Ofek, there, in fact, actually, he lists all the Rishonim, which he is going to, which he published, and it comes out to be quite an impressive list. And I mean, there's the Raive, there's the Rama, there's Yuchsi Tanav Amorayim, there's the Raivan, the Rosh, and there are, in fact, many other Rishonim that have been added to this volume and other volumes we'll speak about. So in other words, there's quite a lot of Rishonim who wrote Peirushim on the Teras Kahanim. And because of that, I mean, if the Teras Kahanim is not any less irrelevant for us than it was for these Rishonim. So clearly, if the Rishonim want this to be a limud, so therefore we have to consider this to be a limud too. Okay, but in fact, let's raise the question: why did the Rishonim write a Peirush on the Teras Kahanim? So I thought that I would focus on the primary Peirush on the Teras Kahanim is out of the Raivet. Right, the Raivet is known, the Gadol HaMafoshim. We all know that the Raivet wrote Peirushim on Yerushalmi, he wrote Peirushim on Edius, he wrote Peirushim on many things that no one learns anymore. And actually, he probably wrote Peirushim on a lot of other things too, except that probably they've been lost. But in any case, the Raivet, he writes a Hakdamah, an introduction, why is he writing a Peirushim on Yud Beis of Rabbi Yishmael? And I thought I would read from this Hakdama, and based on this Hakdama, we could see what points there are in learning the Braisa of Yud Gimel Midas, and we could use this sort of like as a guide to how to understand it. So the Raivet says, "Bipnei ki asefa ze v'usevet vayikra moli mitzvot v'chukim." Since vayikra is filled with mitzvot and chukim, right? Va'midre shadol shiboy nimshach shom alav kama kal v'chaboyrin kama klos v'protois kama gzeru shavois. And since the midrashim, the exegesis, and Teras Kahanim involves kavachaymes, some kavachaymes, klal uprat, gzera shavas, all which are midas which are included in the brayis of Rabbi Yishmael. By the way, aside, most of the drashim of Teras Kahanim are not included in the Gimel Midas, which is a subject we will discuss. How come the Yigimus is so important, when in fact actually we see Chazal using literally hundreds of other midas. In fact, actually, if you learn the Malbim's Hakdama to Vayikra and Yalas HaShachar, there he comes out with, I think, 613 midas. So we have an incredible expansion in history. You know, we'll see from 713 to 32 to 613. But in any case, Lefika kovu b'tchilosei ha-mafteach hazeh, therefore they established this mafteach, this reference, this basis, shupesek l'chol ha-teirah, v'yisoid l'chol ha-mitzvahs. Basically, this is the yisoid of all the mitzvahs, because the mitzvahs being the Teresh B'yotah, as it understands the Teresh B'chsav. V'chula, okay, now that we know that, so the Rabbi is saying, the Rabbi basically says, why did the Bais Rabbi Yishmael begin the Teresh Kanan? The answer is, since Teresh Kanan makes use of middas, so the Baisa delineates the midas. Okay. Now comes the Raivid and gets to the what we call the important tones. Says the Raivid, V'chulam ha'hinam min ha-kabbalah. Most of the drushes are min ha-kabbalah. Let's see, we know through tradition. Chutz min ha-ma'at ha'hinam shim b'forashis b'toyah. Because he's not using Kabbalah, you know, to wield an axe here. He's saying is, most of them are, I mean, Kabbalah means most of the drushes are part of Teresh Shabbat Beth, except for several of them which are explicit in the Torah. Kamosha Anu Asidim Lefavish. In other words, basically, the drushes really are Minak Kabbalah, which is the Teresh Shabbat Beth. For Kabbalah Im Lekulam, now he's using Kabbalah in a little bit different sense. The Kabbalah is, in fact, the Messiah tradition, which is Im Lekulam. It's the beginning, it's the basis of everything. In other words, the shayrish of all the mitzvahs is Kabbalah, tradition. Vilmali haKabbalah, and had not were not for Kabbalah, for tradition, right? In other words, how would we know how to, you know, b'chlal, how to learn anything in the Torah? How would know the shayrish of it all? Right? How do we even know that b'reishis is b'alokim, which is the beginning of the Torah? How do you know Kodesh Baruch Hu is Hashem Lebeira? Right? Now, you might say, well, that's Parshat. Right? But the fact is, it's not so Parshat. Because, if you are familiar with older exegeses of the text, which actually date actually before some of these Tanoim who are actually being quoted, especially the wisdom literature and some of the literature, the Apocrypha, etc., etc. A lot of these, of these interpretations of text, understand Bereis Balakim means wisdom created God. That's wisdom literature. In other words, I don't want to. I can refer you, you know, privately to the relevant textbooks. But the fact is that even something like Bereis Balakim, right, is. You know, it's not so poshut that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. Maybe Bereishis created Elokim. Now, if you say, well, that's a joke, who would think like that? I just have to refer you to the Gemara Daf Tesemana of the Megillah. And there, Talmi HaMelech put together Shivim's Kenim, and they changed the Torah, and they all changed the Torah. Including the other changes was, instead of Rai Bereis Ba Elokim, they wrote Elokim Ba Bereishis. Meaning that what? The Havamina, right, was that what? Bereishis created Elokim. Elokim did the great Bereishis. That's what the Rebbe is saying. But, I mean, I don't know if this was intention, but probably if it's a Gemara to someone else, I'm sure you hadn't this in mind. So what the Rebbe is saying is that even a pasuk as simple as the first pasuk of the Torah, which speaks about the creation of God, right? Without a Kabbalah, without a Beseira, we would think that the Bereishis God created Elokim, Elokeinu. So for this, we need a certain Kabbalah. We need a tradition. It can't be proven, obviously, because they changed the text. Okay? Ki Elokim hu shem labayra. Elokim is a shem labayra. So therefore, the Rav is saying that even simple things we just said in the Chumash, without our tradition, there are myriad ways of interpreting it, some of which, I would say, are antithetical to the way we think and what we believe. In other words, even the tefillahs. Now, what does the Rebbe says? Even the tefillahs that we ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to rely upon the Rishonim HaChachamim VaKadmonim SheKiblum HaVoisam HaVoisam HaVoisam. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the Rebbe means by this. The Gemara does say, for example, in Megillah and you know, in Megillah, then and Brachos, and in fact, actually, the Anshei Knesset Gedola, among whom were several Nevi'im, composed the liturgy of the Shemana Esrei. The fact is that the Rambam Moreh Nevuchim says that actually the Rambam Moreh Nevuchim says actually the reason that we can even use the tefillahs, refer to Kodesh Baruch Hu by name, is because the tefillahs were composed by Nevi'im al pi Nevuah. So, in other words, according to the Rambam, and the Ravid seemed to side the Rambam on some of these philosophical issues, as we know from Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel. So, in other words, according to the Rambam, for sure, in other words, unless the tefillahs are a Kabbalah, which is Nevuah, which, as we'll see, is more or less the same thing, then the fact is, we wouldn't even know how to address a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We would just be, you know, guilty of some type of anthropomorphism, a paganism. So, that's what he says. Kol didui ha-mitzvos u-midroshim em-yotzim em-midros be'erach ha-pshat. Okay, so first of all, so what does the Ravid say? The Ravid says, we need Kabbalah. Without Kabbalah, lo-matzaya deru gilu beis ha-medrash. We have no way of really understanding what's being written. So Kabbalah is very, very important. Okay, given that which is said, he goes on and speaks about his own perush, his own commentary. He says, "V'lule ki amalach aruka lefaneinu, kved aleinu, mimiyu tzichleinu, v'choyse bin aseinu." In other words, "V'anachlu tzrichim lahachlim aleh kol evareinu, kidei lefarish la'tziya divir abisinu, li'yisam nidroshim lechol shoyer v'demtzoyim lechol doyresh. L'man tiye te'olosam shleimah." Right? Hayinu ma'arichim b'dvar ma'ele l'shpoa divrei haminim hamamanim l'shmoyer l'avim k'divrei rabiseinu achremez ramazu l'maminim pesach p'scheinu nevua t'chaskenu yedeim belokim. Now, the Ravid says over here two interesting things. Number one, he says that really it's too difficult to really explain. He says, you know, ha'malach ha'aruch l'faneinu emiyot sechleinu. So what do we do? I mean, it's vast, it's huge. How can we even possibly try to understand these things? But he doesn't say that we sacrifice our intellect. He says we have to do it. Now, why do we have to do it? Now, the Ravid actually lists two reasons. One reason is, L'farish la'tziya divir rabiseinu li'yesem nidroshim l'chol shoyom v'nimtzom l'chol derish l'mantziya t'olosom shleima. In other words, first of all, we have to make this understandable. Now, it's important. This is a part of Chazal. And because it's a part of Chazal, then it's very important that people understand it. So the Ravid says it has to be, you know, in other words, nidroshim l'chol shoyel v'nitzoy l'chol deirish. It has to be user-friendly. It's very important to make things intelligible. In other words, making the nidroshim l'chol intelligible, according to the Ravid, I guess is a part of libat ha-teira. And then the Ravid adds, but really, that would be very, very difficult to do. In fact, actually, maybe that's even too difficult for us. But the Ravid says, lulei, right? Now, he says, really, we'd have to actually, maybe we should just, you know, make this 100, 200 year project and should run my papers right now. But the Ravid says, there's a problem. What about the minim? Says the Rabbi, the minim, right? I'm a manim l'shmoy l'havin divri abiseinu. I assume that the Ravid, at the time he's speaking about, is referring to the Karoim, the Karites, who, in fact, refused to believe in the authority of Chazal to interpret Pesukim, and they offer their own interpretations. So the Ravid says, because of this, we actually have to, you know, we have to enjoin them and we have to somehow write a perush which makes these principles, as I would say, more solidly based, more muchach, as you would use in a Talmudic lashon. Achremez ramazdu l'maminim pesach p'schinu l'nevoinim techaskenu yedem balakim. Now, so the Ravid says two things. Number one is we have to make this that people make this intelligible, people understand it. Number two, we have to make it in such a way that the minim, the people who, you know, who oppose, who don't believe in the oral law, law and tradition, right? That their arguments should, you know, should not go unanswered. And the Rambam, and he says, "Achrem is ramazl ma'aminim pesach b'schinul nevoinim." I'm not sure exactly what allusion he's leading to, but somehow we'll try to understand this a little bit later. That in a certain sense, what he says, "Achrem is ramazl ma'aminim pesach b'schinul nevoinim techaskenu yedayim belokim." Meaning is that in confronting the minim, we're going to, of course, have to make things a little bit more rational. And somehow the nevinim, the people who believe, are going to have to use this as a way of, I guess, you know, strengthening their understanding of Chazal. Yeah.
The Rav is trying to kirv on the karaim, or he's trying to know dala malahashi
l'apikaitas? I didn't see bala malahashi l'apikaitas. In other words, and it's interesting, the Gemara, the Lashon of the Gemara on the Chesed based on Sanhedrin, is havi shokel l'mol Torah. V'dama halacha shel lapikayos. I'm always fond of saying that the Chazal say two things. Have yishak el moteya. You should, you know, apply yourself diligently. V'dama shel lapikayos. Which means is that part and possible. So most people learn. You know, you have to learn very well to know what to answer the apikayos. Doesn't mean you left the apikayos, that's what people think today. But that's the pshat of the Gemara. But what it means shak el moteya, that somehow answering the apikayos is part of the depth of Torah. That's what I want to claim. In other words, have a shakl mo teira, and how do you do it? V'dal l'ham shal apikayos. In other words, part of limud teira involves a breakdown of the material to the extent that it would somehow give the apikayos, give the yachol, something to argue, and then somehow we have to use that in order to make the teira much more intelligible. So in other words, the fact is that we're dealing with... What?
It's a tetzah. Learn Torah, v'da, and then can we then alone?
I don't think so. It could possibly be, but what does one thing have to do with another? If you answer the apikayos is so easy, why be shuffling mol Torah? Why should Chazal put them together? I would think just the opposite, because the fact is that when a person actually, what is a kasha? Every kasha, I think the Arizal says something. The kashas come from the klipas. Every kasha is a suspension of belief when you think about it. In other words, being meshiv to the apikayos is part of the shkeda of Torah. The two are inseparable. That's why I understand it. It's very, very interesting. The Gemara says, I don't want to go into drashas and tangents, but the Gemara uses an example. I think a min comes to Rabbi Yechanan. And since it was last week's parasha, and the Gemara in Gittin says that the three first days of the Shavuot are actually part of the last Shabbos, so it's all shy to speak about last week's parasha. So it's interesting that there the Gemara in there the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the min comes to Rabbi Yechanan and said to him, "It's a natz adam something like a musayna." So Chosh Bocha must have had a shutev. So Rabbi Yechanan answers him, you know, and says that no, that in fact actually Chosh Bocha was misyayis for Maya shel Mata. The Gadol should misyayis to take advice from those who are lower. So most people learn the Gemara like Musa, like shut up. The Yikra is supposed to learn Musa. I think that's the Bliska there. But the fact is, I'll tell you what the Pshat in the Gemara is. Once a Kadosh Baruch Hu entertains the creation of man, then there actually has to be a God-man side dimension to him. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu knew himself, Kadosh Baruch Hu as he relates to the Bria. That's only through man. Man is conscious of God. So once a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, we cannot understand God enough himself. Once a Kadosh Baruch Hu entertains a notion of creating man, immediately, not even the speed of light, in the quantum mechanical sense, immediately, there has to be what? There has to be a man-God dimension. So that's the pshat. He's b'shayis b'mana shamata. Kadosh Baruch Hu is in need of making himself intelligible to a human being. That's the definition of man. That's the pshat of Rabbi Yechanan.
And those two aspects to God?
Yeah. That's the aspect of that's the pshat of Rabbi Yechanan. I mean, there's a Musa approach, obviously, but that's really what he wanted to say. Okay, in any case, so let's begin. Now, the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael, is a long Braisa, Rabbi Yishmael, but what's interesting is that there's another listing of Midas. Towards the end of, I guess, Halacha Zayin, the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael brings from Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken, Dorash, Sheva Midas, Lezik, Bnei B'Seira. He says, Hillel HaZaken was Dorash, 7 meters in front of Bnei B'Seira. Kalva Choyme, Gzera Shava, Binyan Av, etc. 7 meters. Now, it's interesting. Why are Chazal telling me this? Now, by the way, this is not a forgery, because it appears also at the end of Perek Zion, Tosefta in Sanhedrin, and other places too. Why are Chazal telling me here that Hillel was Dorash, Sheva Midas? Now, there's two ways of understanding it, prima facie, before we go to the Rishayim. And of course, I want to, of course, preface by saying that, of course, everything we're going to do is going to be Al Pi Divi Rabbeinu Rishayim, and we're going to look at the Gemara too. We're not going to just look at the Midas, you know, just the prices of themselves. Yeah.
These 7 are 7 of the 13, or they're different?
The 7 of the 13. 7 of the 13, yeah. Now, the fact is, there's two ways of understanding it. Either the Brice is telling me, you know, Derech Agav, Hillel, on a certain day, well, that day is clear for the Tosef is the Sefer is referring to the day that he came to Bnei Baseya, to Yerushalayim. We'll speak about that. Gemara Sanhedrin Vav Amud Aleph Pesachim. That day he happened to have dashed in 7 meters. Maybe like he set a world record, how many meters can you dash in one day? But there's another way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it is that good Basel would be that Hillel was the first person to give a number to the meter, 7 meters. In other words, the canon begins with Hillel with 7 meters. Comes up Ishmael and adds another 6 meters, 13 meters, although we'll see exactly how to count in the meters. And then comes that Zilbiyazmi of Yosef Lili, who actually gives 32 meters. Now, there are two ways of understanding this. Now, it turns out there's actually a Machlokas Rishayim. Okay? Machlokas Rishayim. I'm reading from the notes here in the Ben Shoshana, or Ben Shoshana's B'chon Opex here. It brings Machlokas Rishayim. I checked the Rishayim, it's true. But anyway, how do we explain the fact that Hillel was Darish 7 meters? Now, it is true. Now, it's clear that Yezekalidi is Darish 22 meters. So there's no way of understanding it, like the Shlomo learns, that somehow the midas of Rabbi Shmuel include the 32 meters of Yitzchak Lili. Meaning that what? Meaning is that certainly we can understand it historically. In other words, just like the Malbim 613, he has 32, he has 13. What about Hillel's 7 meters? Because it doesn't say Hillel was Deirish 7 meters. It says he was Deirish in front of Bnei Paseya. For a specific historical event. That historical event, therefore, we can understand in two ways. Either coincidentally that day he was Deirish 7 meters, or that those are the meters that Hillel came up with. So, it says over here, the Sefer Krisis, which is Shem Mikinon, Yisivas Oyel of Thomas Kolonis, says, Eilus 7 meters, these 7 meters, Shadar Shilo, Lo Mipnei Shaloya Dele Shah Meters. Kas Fishala! Kas Fishala! Nobody Hillel was Cholik on the other meters. Right? And I'll show you Stuart the Fifth. For some, I don't know, like, this was a specialty. Stuart the Fifth. Or Yitzchak was as much little bit key in behalf. Or maybe he needed them because people didn't know these meters. Otherwise, the Sefer Krisis learns coincidence. But it's not coming to tell me that we have an evolution of the meters from 7 to 13 to 32. Okay? However, the Goyin, and he brings the meters out, and the Goyin says that no. He says that the 7 meters of Hillel are koil of the 13 meters of Rabbi Yishmael, and says, Kochas of a goa beside price in 11 meters. Meaning that the Goyim learn, this is like the Lamed based meters, Yuzak Lili, Yuzak Lili, are an expansion of Rabbi Yishmael's 13 meters. So too, the 13 meters of Rabbi Yishmael are expansion of what? Of Hillel 7 meters, meaning that the Goyim is learning that we have here a historical development in quotation marks, namely, Hillel, right, had a canon of 7, Rabbi Shmuel, I guess, made it more elaborate, made it more detailed, and made it 13, and then, etc., etc. Now, first of all, I'm a Litvak, so certainly I'm naturally going to side with the Goyim. But secondly, my feeling is, as you'll see in Mitzvah Hashem, the gut feeling is that this is the pshat of the Braisa. If the Braisa tell me coincidentally, what do I have to know it for? My gut understanding of the Braisa is that Hillel's midas are a precursor to Rabbi Shmuel's midas. Okay, now, what's the problem? First of all, the problem is that we're going to see in Yitzhak Hashem that if you look at the midas that Hillel was doing in front of Bnei B'Seva, not according to the Bavli, but according to the accepted little Shalmi, he used midas that don't appear here. That's what we're going to address. And Chas V'Shalom, we can't say the survey contradicts itself. So we're going to try to understand what this means. This is going to lead us to what I think a very deeper understanding of what the midas are. Okay, first of all, the whole Maisa of Hillel Bnei B'Seya appears several places. It appears actually in Tosefta Pesachim, Perek Dalet, but it appears too not in the Yerushalmi, being in Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, and in the Bavli. Now, what is that Maisa? Now, I want to emphasize again, why am I going so much into Hillel? From a careful reading of Hillel's Middos, we're actually going to get a very, very interesting insight in what are the Middos. What are the Middos? And what's the notion of Masada? Okay, now, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, Samach Vav Ben Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, we all know that there's a halacha stated in the Mishnah that if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so we're told that the Korban Pesach is Deicha Shabbos. It means we bring the Korban Pesach and we slaughter the Korban Pesach, even falls out on Shabbos. The Gemara tells us Tana Rabbanan, Samach Vav Ben Aleph, halacha zun is alma b'nei Pesach. This halacha was hidden from B'nai B'Seira. Was hidden. Okay? Pamachas, Chalaba Asol Yes B'Shabbos. Now, what do you mean this Alma? Can't be this Alma, can't be forgotten. How can they forget something like this? But actually, you know what, let me get a little bit of sukkah here. Sorry. Just so you don't learn incorrectly, the Gemara says in Sukkah, and Daf Chaf Bar Aleph, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, "V'tchila nishtacha Torah b'Yisrael." In the beginning, Torah was forgotten from Israel. Forgotten. Ola Ezra b'Bavel v'Yasta. Ezra Mibor came from Babel and was miyasad, established it. Chazov in the Shtacha was forgotten again. What does that mean? Ola Hila Babli Viyasta. Now when would this happen? Says Rashi. Ola Hila, says Rashi, Yishtacha Tom Yisrael, Lo nishtacha chula, kama. Not that the whole Torah was forgotten, chas v'shalom. Ela hilchos shchuchos, halachos shchuchos, b'bnei b'seira. They forgot certain halachos from b'nei b'seira, should be out to Israel. Like it says in Pesachim, el devav, samadav ben aleph. So Rashi, clearly, in Sukkah learns, this alma means nishtacha. They forgot. So it says, Tana Rabbanan, of course, what does forgot mean? We'll also speak about that, because nishtacha appears in several cases, and Tamura, Dr. Zayin, and Manalav, and Mabez, the Gemara clearly speaks about the Shtacha during Avodah Shel Moshe. We'll get to all these things. What you're saying is that this Alma means the same thing as the Shtacha. How are we going to interpret the Shtacha? So and what happens is, Bnei B'Seira, Pabachas Chalabas, Leil Yos B'Shabbos, Shachum Liadu, and Pesach Derech HaShabbos. They know Pesach is Derech HaShabbos, in love. So it said, Klom Yesh Adam Shadeh, and Pesach Derech HaShabbos, in love. Does anyone know if you read the Korban Pesach? Amu lehem, so they said to him, Adam echad yeshom mibavel, the person came from Bavel, hello Shemai, and his meshamis to go to the Adosh, Mavi Avtalia, and he knows. So then they came to him, and Hillel basically begins dashing the Midas. And the Midas, the two Midas that appear in the Bavli, is he first makes a Gzera Shava, Mayada Mayada, and then after that he makes a Kavu Choyma. We're not going to go more in detail. Okay, obviously, Darshayne. What does it mean? How can they forget a halacha? The Chavos Yoreh doesn't understand what's going on. Chavos Yoreh in Simon Kuf Tzadik Bey says, Enu Shavali, Al-Kahala Kaddish, Bnei Peseira. So, Achiyon, Ech Nishkach, Dover, Hanasepe, Shishwi, Bifes, Bisman Kotz, I mean, 600,000 people every several years, every place falls on Shabbos. How can they forget something like that? Elizabeth Zorachin doesn't give an answer. The Me'iri, however, gives an answer. The Me'iri in Pesachim, in the Beis HaBechira, gives an answer. Right? It's on top of Vav. And the Me'iri says, let's see now, 1 second. He says, Aru Khan of a Talvin Habara, it says here in the Ushalmi, The reason it means Yerushalmi is going to actually refer to Yerushalmi. Azikvei b'seira shiur nesiyim v'yiduyim v'minhagim b'chol ha'ilor. They were obviously Yiduyim. They knew all the minhagim, every ha'ilor. V'amu aleihem, according to the Meiri now, pam achas ne'la mehem in Pesach Derech HaShabbos. So says the Meiri, dover ze'iyev shalaf harish kipshutan. You can't say, you can't understand this literally. You can't have 7 years without ever Pesach going on Shabbos. Ella, says the Meir, Ella had tam nela mehem. They forgot the reason. For haya shamisha, kanta bakak v'liyodul hashiv, etc., etc. Go on. So in other words, the Meir understands that they knew the halacha, but they didn't know the reason. Which means that what did Hillel do? Hillel came and supplied the reason. Now, the fact is that we're going to see a little bit in the Gemara that besides being the Meiri's contention that they knew the halacha and didn't know the reason, there are a lot of rayas actually in the Gemara itself. One interesting rayas is the Tosefta. The Tosefta Pesachim seems to suggest that the debate took place after, not on Erev Pesach, but took place actually on the day of Erev Pesach itself. That was after everybody brought the korban, they started arguing this Pesach Dechon Shabbos. That's Mashu the Tosefta, which means it was a post-factum argument. Meaning, of course, as life imitates Torah, it was a post-factum chiddush. In other words, everybody knew the halacha. The question is, what's the reason for the halacha? Okay, now, the fact is that the Gemara tells us that Hillel dashed two midas, okay? One of these midas, and this is the Tosefta too. So they asked Hillel, minayin lecha, how do you know? So Hillel says, omalehem. He said to him, nema mayada bepesach. Regarding Pesach, it says mayadai. As it says, v'yasu v'neyasun of the Pesach b'mayadai. That's in Bamidbar, Perek Tes, Pasuk Beis. And it says, mayadai, with respect to the Talmud, the daily sacrifice. It says, Sabbath B'nai Yisrael, Yomato Aleim, Eskol B'lach, Nei Shai Ech, Nei Chaych, Nei Shmeel, Nei Akri, Loi B'mai Adai. So it says B'mai Adai there. So Mama Adai, Bo B'tom B'dei Chas HaShabbos, just like B'mai Adai, and the Kobe B'tom B'dei Chas HaShabbos. B'mai Adai, Bo B'Pesach, B'dei Chas HaShabbos. That's the Gzeh HaShabba. V'oi Kavah Chayma. He also made a Kavah Chayma. Umat Tomich in Onish Koresh, Deich Shabbos. Tomich, where there is an Onish Koresh, person will be the Tomich, don't get Koresh, and Deich Shabbos. Pesach, she Onish Koresh, and Deich Shabbos? So you go to Kabbal Chayma, then the question, they made the head of the best, etc., etc. Okay, so Hillel, Dalshans, two Midas, which are actually the first two Midas that appear here. Kabbal Chayma, Vigzeh Shabbos. It's interesting that the Braisa lists Kavah Chayma for Gzera Shava, but in the Gemara lists the Gzera Shava for the Kavah Chayma. However, in the Tosefta, there's a little bit different version, which is actually attested to by the Yerushalmi. I'm reading now from Tosefta Pesachim, Perek Dalav Halacha Yud Aleph. Pamachas Kal Yud Dal Yes B'Shabbos. Shalos Hila Zokin Pesach Ma Shivches HaShabbos. They asked him, Amalem v'chi Pesach Echad, etc., etc. So he says, Amalem. Okay, let's go to the arguments of the Tosefta now. Three arguments. Tamid Korban Tzibah. A Tamid is a Korban Tzibah. Dechas HaShabbos, Dechas HaShabbos. Pesach Korban Tzibah, Dechas HaShabbos. So argument number one is a simple, I would call it a Hekesh. Pesach. Right? I mean, a Tamid, Shoshacha, is a common seed with Dechah Shabbos. So base a common seed with Dechah Shabbos. That's number one. Dova Achel, number two. By Tomer it says by Adoy, by Pesach it says by Adoy. V'oy, in addition, Kavah Chayma. Just like Tomer, you're not Chayim Koy, Dechah Shabbos, Dechah Shabbos. Three Midas. There's a Hekesh. I would call it a Hekesh. And then there's a, there's the Gzeh HaShava, and then there's a Kavah Chayva. And the question is, why did the Gemara not bring the Hekesh? telling why the Gemara has to be in the Hekesh. Why does the Baisa say Kavol Chomer is Erev Shabbat, not Hekesh? Okay? That's the question I want to ask. We can't say there wasn't a Messiah, Chas V'Shalom. Now, the Yerushalmi, I have in front of me the Elidin edition of the Yerushalmi, so no one can scream to me about the Gilsa until we change it. Okay? The Yerushalmi says, Kava Amano Shiesh B'mchat Techeles, Hiskil, says Yerushalmi, Hiskil Deirish Lehen, Hekesh, Kavol Chomer and Zera Shabbat. It says explicitly, Hekesh, Kavol Chomer and Zera Shabbat. Hekesh. Hoyle, the Talmud, I'm reading here, actually it's very nice, but Yerushalmi has actually a traditional daf, which is Lamed Beis Amud Dalet, in the Yerushalmi. Hoyle, the Talmud, Kavon Tziva, the Pesach Kavon Tziva, Ma Talmud Kavon Tziva, Dech HaShabbos, the Pesach Kavon Tziva, Dech HaShabbos. Now, Kavol Chomer, Marim Talmud, Shein Chayim, Al Yisiyosu, Kedaz, Karei, Dech HaShabbos, and Zera Shabbat. It says, Talmud by Adai, Pesach by Adai, etc. So therefore the Yerushalmi calls this Hekesh. Now, you might really say that maybe what Hillel's being done is not a Hekesh. It's usually a Hekesh. It could possibly be what's called a Binyanav. And actually, so you could say, what you could say, is that actually the Breisa of Hillel says, Kal v'choymer, gzera shava Binyanav. So maybe what says Binyanav is referring to what the Yerushalmi calls a Hekesh. But I don't think, I will speak about this. There's a lot to say about this. There's a lot to say to the scholars about this. But in any case, I'm a simple Jew, right? The Yerushalmi says Hekesh. I want to say really that the Yerushalmi understood to be a Hekesh. But in any ways, the problem still remains. In other words, right, the Yerushalmi clearly lists these three meters. So does the Tosefta, right? The Bavli evidently skips over or omits the Hekesh. And we see also the Braisa of in Rabbi Yishmael, Hillel, a limit doesn't have Hekesh, has been Yanav, and the question is, why is this true? Why is this true? Okay, fine. Before I answer this question, I want to raise another question, which is interesting. Okay? We answer one question with another question. The Chachamim argue on Hillel. The Gemara raises a question. The Gemara says, "Oh my man, I'm some of the Alvim Pesachim. Nema v'yad v'pesa, nema v'yad v'tomit." Okay, in Talmud, how do we know? The Gemara brings up right now. So, the Gemara says, Oma ma voi kabel choyma. We have the Gzera Shava, then we have a kabel choyma. Oma tajal in his car, etc., etc. So the Gemara has a question. Right? The question is that why do you have to need two midas? Okay. So he said, "V'chim yachad gam gzera shava kavol chomer lamali." Eldi daskas Hashem, what is a kavol chomer? Eldi deu kamalo. He said to him, "Bishlama gzera shava lo gamisa. You don't have a besa. You don't have a tradition of gzera shava. So I understand." But you should learn logic. There's a kavol chomer. Ela kavol chomer adam dali atzmai. In other words, we have here this yesod that the gzera shava requires a kabbalah. Hashem calls a kabbalah, but the kavol chomer, a person can be down kavol chomer atzmai. So we have here clearly in Pesachim. You can see the other meaning is going to be a machlekas rishonim, but we have here two completely extremes. A gzera shava, you need a rebbe. You need a besaira. Halacha l'moshe should be Sinai. Right? In other words, right? Says Rashi, "Ein adam dag gzera shava yatzboi, am kein lamdo mirabboi." He only learns from his rebbe. Gezeira Shava, perhaps make up a Gezeira Shava. Now, what does this mean? A person, if there's a Messiah of a Gezeira Shava, how come they didn't have it? They didn't have a Messiah of a Gezeira Shava? There's a Messiah. What's Messiah of a Gezeira Shava? It's very, very interesting. The Rushalmi, I won't get to Rushalmi in detail another time. The Rushalmi says there's a logic between a Kal V'Chaim and a Gezeira Shava. What's the difference? Why Gezeira Shava do we say you need a Messiah and a Kal V'Chaim and not? There's an easy reason. And a Gezeira Shava, I can take any two words and make up a whole new Torah. In other words, since the Gezeira Shava, in other words, as soon as the Gezeira Shava doesn't operate rationally, I can't retort it. So I have to have a Messiah. Otherwise, I can make up my own religion. A Kal V'Chaim is open to attack. So therefore, you know what? It lives on reason. If there's a reason to shoot it down, you shoot it down. A Gezeira Shava, you can't shoot it down. You need a Messiah. Okay, so was largely speaking, this is, but the question I want to raise is that what is this Messiah that I need? Now, even though Rashi says several times in Shas, you know, he says several times in Shas, he says that goes by Lashon B'Sinai, but he says you need a kalam from your Rebbe. And the Gemara Pesachim is clear that Hillel has come off Rebbe from Shema V'Yaftalion. But what does it mean here, I have to learn a Gezeira Shava from my Rebbe? Okay. What I want to do is, I'm going to invoke a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which I'm going to go into very, very much detail in next time. So don't start arguing. But based upon this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to explain to you what do I think is meant by having a Messiah and a Gezeira Shava. And based upon that, I'm going to explain the discrepancy between the Yerushalmi Tosefta and the Bavli. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis and Lamed Daman Aleph is concerned with learning from Pesukim how many tekiyas and truas do we make on Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Gemara is concerned with. And first, the Gemara brings a hekesh. Think about what type of hekesh is. I'm going to go into it right now. But the Gemara calls it a hekesh. And after that, the Gemara brings a Gezeira Shava. So the Gemara always asks good questions. The Gemara has a good question. Right? The Gemara says, Hi, Taina, me ikara miyaisle behekesha. First you learn the thing from the hekesh. And then you bring me a Gezeira Shava. Gemara's asking, why do we first learn from hekesh and a Gezeira Shava? And we'll see actually in Mitzvah Shem next week, the Gezeira Shava is actually much more effective than the hekesh. Just according to the Ritva. According to Rashi, it is according to the Ritva. We'll speak about that too next week. So the Gemara says, Hachi kama, says the Gemara, I love Gezeira Shava. If I didn't have the Gezeira Shava, have my seed a hekesh? I would have brought a hekesh. Ha should I ask the Gezeira Shava? But now that I can learn from Gezeira Shava. Hekesh like Sricha. I don't need a hekesh. What's the Gemara saying? What's the Gemara saying? If I did have a Gezeira Shava, I would learn it with a hekesh. But now that I'm Gezeira Shava, I don't need a hekesh. What do you mean? I thought a Gezeira Shava you have from your Rebbe. What do you mean? You don't have a Gezeira Shava. The Gemara is saying that. Okay. This is what I want to say. A Gezeira Shava ultimately is based in a hekesh. In other words, what Hillel knew from Shmaya B'Avtalion was a hekesh. The Chiddush, and it could possibly be that B'nai B'Seira also knew the hekesh. That's why they don't even relate to the hekesh in the Yerushalmi. They don't bother with the hekesh. The Chiddush of Hillel, what Hillel did, was he introduced a Gzeira Shava. In other words, the new canon is the Gzeira Shava. The Gzeira Shava is based upon a Hekesh. What happens is, the Hekesh, which was heretofore used, Hillel now is, what I would say, changing the Nusach, and it becomes a Gzeira Shava. Every Gzeira Shava is based on a Hekesh. That's why you have to have a Mesira. You just can't take two words. There's a rhyme and reason behind the Gzeira Shava. How do I know that? I know that from my Rebbe's. But what my Rebbe's called a Hekesh, which is a Svara, it becomes Mesira, because I will speak about Mesira, Svara. What my Rebbe calls a Hekesh, which is purely a logical equation, I'm calling it Gzeira Shava. Two words.
Yeah. There's no Mesira on Gzeira, on which words of Gzeira Shava?
There's no, well, L'chaira, there's not, let's put it this way. Right, in other words, the Derech of Limud was not through the words. The Derech of Limud was through the Hekesh of the two Inyanim, namely the Tomid and the Pesach.
And both Hillel and Bnei Bseira knew the Halacha and knew the Hekesh and the Machlokas.
Right.
Hillel's Chiddush was to find a coat hanger in the Torah.
That's right, the Gzeira Shava. Now, you might say, so what's the Milo of the Gzeira Shava? Okay, the Gzeira Shava is much more powerful. As we mention something we're going to learn next week in Rosh Hashanah based upon Aritfa, the Gzeira Shava is more powerful than the Hekesh. Because the Gzeira Shava, what it does is, it creates a new text. And now we can dash in the new text and come out with more halachas than we had previously to the creation of the text. So in other words, the Midah of Gzeira Shava is a text. Now the text has come from tradition, it has to be Mesira. He didn't make up the halacha that the Korban Pesach is Dechah Shabbos.
But the text is a Chiddush.
But the textualization of that Mesira, that becomes a new canon. And then when we take the new canon and we use it, because there's rules of using a canon, it becomes very powerful, and I can produce, in fact, other halachas, chidushi halachas, that I would not necessarily know had I just had the Hekesh. Yeah.
Why did Bnei Bseira accept this, or let them make it under the nothing? I mean, either he did something really quite trivial, or he did something completely heretical.
No. First of all, you can't say it's heretical, because on this halacha, Hillel claims the Messiah.
That's going to lead to a new Torah.
Right. So now we're going to speak about the Nemir Tashem. We're going to speak about the Nemir Tashem. We're going to speak about the concept of Nishtacha. But there's no question. I think here what we have in the case of Hillel is that Hillel constructed a text called the Gzeira Shava, which basically maintains all the properties of Messiah. Messiah is contained with it. But somehow this text becomes what I would say more effective or more important at this stage in history, which we'll speak about in the Yetzer Hashem. More stage in history. In other words, basically, so in other words, let's go back again. What was the kasha that I asked? The kasha I asked is, how come the Bavli lives out the Hekesh, and how come the Brais of Hillel lives out the Hekesh? The answer is very simple. The Hekesh is a precursor to the Gzeira Shava. The Hekesh is the old system. Now, I want to warn you, don't ask me kashas, because the Hekesh is going to come back to haunt us. In fact, actually, in several places in Shas, I think in Chav Ches and Chisas, and then Aleph and Gittin, the Gemara actually has a Makloikas, which should you use, a Hekesh or a Gzeira Shava? Like everything else in the Teresh B'al Peh, nothing, there's no loss of information, it's just reused in different contexts. But the point is, we're going to get to that mission, that's going to be actually one of the major themes of these Shi'ulim is going to be that the relationship, the dialectic, between what we call Svara and canon. That's going to be very, very important. But what I want to say is like this. What I'm claiming is the following thing. What I'm claiming is that the reason the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel leaves out Hekesh, right? Dealing with Hillel, also Rabbi Shmuel too. And the Bavli leaves out Hekesh. Because Hekesh doesn't make it into the canon. Hekesh has a, what you would call a, as a Gilgul in Gzera Shava. So the Yerushalmi tells, what the Yerushalmi is telling him, he first began with a Hekesh. But Bnei Bessera didn't answer. Why didn't he answer it? They also know the Hekesh. But then when he brings from the Kal V'Chaymel, right, then they accept it. Why? Because the Kal V'Chaymel includes the Hekesh, but the Kal V'Chaymel creates the new text, which is exactly what is that? What,
the Gzera Shava.
Right, the Gzera Shava creates a new text, which exactly is what was needed at that time, yeah.
So what was their problem? They had the Hekesh, they couldn't answer the question, so...
No, because it was clear. So it was clear at that time. I want to say, what's the difference between a Gzera Shava and a Hekesh? Because a Hekesh is a Svara. You can always say, you know, I disagree with you on a Hekesh. Once I have a Gzera Shava, I've frozen it. I made it into a new paradigm. I can't argue on your Gzera Shava. It's the words of the Torah. In other words, what I've done is I've taken the Torah Shebi'al Peh and put it back a little bit into the Torah Shebichsav. Then it assumes a new mantle of authority.
And is the Hekesh specific, or is it just simply say that there's a comparison between these things, or they had specifically on this din they had the comparison?
No, a Hekesh is a general comparison, but they use this comparison actually for this din too.
They knew the halacha.
They knew the halacha for sure, but they don't go through a Hekesh. They don't go through a Gzera Shava. I think what I'm saying is very, very mistava, and that, in my opinion, in fact, actually explains the difference between the Yerushalmi Tosefta with the Bavli and the Brais of Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, one thing, like I said before, the heck is going to come back again. In Memalef Amud Beis and Gittin, for example, the Gemara says, what's Adif? A Gzera Shava or a Hekesh? But let me give you just a very simple example. The Gemara and Chul, the many Gemaras bring as an example of a Gzera Shava, Vishava Koin Uva'akoin. Two different words. So the Gemara says, the Gemara tries to bring another Gzera Shava. Why is it two different words? Ah, Shava Koin again. That's if you can't find him, you can't find him. Doesn't make any sense. So what? I can't find two words. So don't make the Gzera Shava. The answer is no. I know it's smaller. So I do the best. Shava Koin Uva'akoin. Because when I do my best means I already know the halacha. I know the halacha through Hekesh. That's what I want to say. Now, what I'm saying, of course, is arguing. I think it's arguing on the Shloah. It might be arguing actually on the Rash too, because the answer to the Shloah is the question. It may cause the Rash. How come Hekesh is not... listed in the Midah? So he says maybe Hekesh is more like Torah Shebichsav. But... the fact is, I want to say, I don't know what that means, more Torah Shebichsav. It might only mean what I'm saying. But it means more Torah Shebichsav means, it's like before this new development of Torah Shebi'al Peh. That's what he means. I'm not sure what he means. But in any case, I'm saying a different Lashon for sure. The Shloah is in the Shloah and the Torah Shebi'al Peh, the Yigimah Midas. I think he might be quoting with the Rishonim there. But in any case, maybe the Rashbi Kinnot says that's like that. Sebach Klisos, you know, with all due respect. But I want to say that this is an answer to this. Now, the fact is that there's a lot what to say on this issue, because I've introduced actually a new concept, which is the emergence of a new canon, a new text, which contains within the tradition before, but is actually quite enough powerful to produce new halachas. It's a little bit like an intuition in science. And once you create the equation, the law of the equation can work for you, and it assumes not only everything that you know about, but actually it's very good at probing new things too. And this is actually part and parcel of how the Torah Shebi'al Peh works. But for sure, we see a thing very clear. There was a Maseva on this. Hillel didn't just make up a halacha. The Miri is right. Now, the Miri is right for other reasons too, which you can actually see in the text. But the Miri is right. And Kusha G'dayla on the Chavis Yaya. But the Miri is correct. The Miri is correct. For sure there's a Maseva on this. You see from the Ushami, from this reading. But we see what changed. What changed was Hillel creates this type, this new text, this new Midah, Gzera Shava. Okay. Now, even though the R Rishayim was Halachah Rishbi Sinai, we'll see Mitzvah Shem next week too. The Rosh says sometimes Halachah Rishbi Sinai just means it's obviously right, just as it was from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rosh didn't make advice, etc. In any case, I'm going to conclude over here because there's a lot more work to do. Actually, I'm going to have to actually do a lot more explanation Mitzvah Shem next week. Here, I'm going to explain a little bit more deeply what this means. We'll go into the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, instead of Rishayim Yachoyim on it, etc. In any case, from a new undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Kol Tov, Hatzlacha, until next week.